satisfactory
action.
Judy, I want you to know that that was, in the history of us doing the bonus hour, Wendy and I started doing the bonus hour in 1966, and in the history of doing the bonus hour...
You look great.
That's kind of you, thanks. That was the worst transition ever from regular WGN to bonus hour WGN, and it's all on me. You did your job,
yeah, well,
Jasmine
thanks.
Did her job, the engineers, everybody here.
It's already difficult enough getting into the, you know, listeners' hearts, and now,
I've
they're gonna
made
blame
it even
that.
More difficult. For people who have never been up to the WGN studio, here's the way the situation works. There's a little knob, there's a lever, and it's up at, I'll tell you where it is.
10-ish?
Yeah, I'd say 8 or 9. And then what my job is to do is to move the lever down.
Called fade.
Fade, as the kids like to say in the business. Mm-hmm. You throw a fade. And,
or you fade it down.
Anyone could do it, including...
A monkey.
Circus animals, monkeys.
A bear. Probably a bird
a
with
gerbil.
A beak.
A gerbil. You could bring in a gerbil and say to the gerbil... at the right time, just push this that way or move it down that way.
Some of our engineers.
Would I would say most of the engineers.
Domati could do it.
Domati could do it. A slug. A drunken
a slug.
A slug
would be good because you want to fade it down slowly.
But I, Judy.
What did you do?
I just, my timing was off. I'm like, now? Should I do it now? No, I'll wait. And then what you had was the chaos of... traditional WGN, you know, the beginning mm-hmm. of the Wintrust Business Lunch and the fade in us. And I'm sorry. You know, Wendy normally does it. I'm now standing where Wendy normally is, and you're where I'm usually there.
Right.
Right now, at about this time, I'm either crocheting.
Or eating chuckles.
I'm eating chuckles. Or I have...
Or thinking about Thanksgiving and what you won't
yes,
be eating.
Yes. Can we discuss this a little bit further?
Okay, hater.
This is an important
Go ahead, hater.
Debate.
Turkey hater.
I know that for many people, and you, I think you expressed yourself beautifully earlier. You said, for many of us, this is the best day of the year is Thanksgiving because you're surrounded by the people that you love the most. You're eating the food that you love the most.
Really, it's about the food.
It's
mostly,
most of it's the food.
Yeah.
The family
people
just happens
forward to
be
yeah.
there.
And then because it's the first holiday.
Mm.
Well, no, it's the last. Oh, no, you're right. Of the year. I don't know. It's
not the first or the last.
It's the one before Christmas. Maybe that's it's not the big one, but it's
right.
kind of the biggest.
It's like the opening act for Christmas.
It's right. That's a good way to put
but
it.
But like
yeah.
in comedy, because I did comedy for 10 years, the opening act always sucks. The first guy out, he's not good. So that's what I'm saying is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the MC of the holiday season. It's a guy who's just kind of trying stuff out. Isn't sure what his direction is quite yet.
Yeah, no, that's not a good analogy.
You don't see it that way?
No, not at all.
No?
Nobody does.
No?
Right. Nobody does. People right. love Thanksgiving.
I will think of a better analogy, and I will call everybody listening, expect a call from me around 4 o'clock today, because I will have a better analogy than the one I just threw out there. I want to like it. I've tried to like it. There have been times where I've said, let's start over Thanksgiving and me. Let's start afresh. Let's
right.
start anew.
Did you like it when you were younger?
No, never. Dreaded it.
What happened?
I wanted
Something
to go to school.
Happened.
I said, send me to school on Thanksgiving. I want to go to school.
So, what happened? What happened to you on Thanksgiving?
Here's what I think it is. Now, I've been told by my family members to never say this again, but I'm going to say it.
Can't wait.
When I was a kid, my mom, who had a tremendous heart, and I don't say that, I mean it, her heart mm-hmm. was so big that she had to have
it.
A special container. She went out and purchased a special Lucite container because her heart was so big. All right. So my mom would invite over not just the regular relatives, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents and stuff like that. But throughout the year, she would find out somebody that was not invited somewhere. And she would say, well, those people are coming to our house. So even though this sounds so heroic, we had a table filled with the misfits of the family, the people that nobody wanted. And I know that, you know, in her heart, she was saying a place for everybody. We're
right.
going to have, you know, nobody else wants them. We want you. But boy, it made for a long day. Because I always believe that there's,
you know, how
if
bad
nobody
this makes
wants
you, look,
you
right?
there's a reason nobody wants you.
But think about what your mom did.
I know. It's
that could have
like
been,
a saint would do that.
That could have been that person's only
yep.
day of the year that they interacted with someone.
You're right.
Do you know how many lonely people there are who just have no one?
You're right.
Think about that.
You're right.
That is what Thanksgiving is about, and I love your mom.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm going to try to do that this year. I have in the past done that. Only my, it's not even your mom. I can't even compare.
Yeah.
But sometimes people will say, do you mind if my uncle comes or my...
Right.
Or,
he doesn't
you know,
have
someone of
go.
Their family. And I, it was the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, really? Is it always about you, Bill?
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
I think you need to give Thanksgiving a chance again.
I also think the decorations are horrible.
See, I think you know what it is.
You know how Christmas has bright, flashy lights.
It's too. You've got this broad picture. Just think about the food.
I hate the food.
See, that's the problem.
I hate the food.
You hate the food, so there's nothing's going to be good.
Right.
Nothing about it's going to be good because it all starts with the turkey. So and then it goes on to the mashed potatoes and the stuffing and then the sweet potatoes and the green bean casserole and then maybe some rolls. If you don't like that, you're done.
Should anyone in this day and age be excited about rolls? What has happened if somebody
warm,
goes,
buttered
I can't
rolls
wait till Thursday.
That you dip in
We're
your turkey
rolls.
Gravy? What is wrong with you? I got to tell you, that's one of my favorite.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The day after Thanksgiving. The open turkey face sandwich with the gravy and
See, that's another thing is I want once it's over, I want it to be over. I don't want lingering.
Unlike my family
memories.
Who want so much food left over that they bring their own containers. Well, I'm not going to convince you. You have a bad taste in your mouth.
Horrible taste.
From your mother's big heart and the
She did have a huge heart.
You can't
and a big spleen.
There's
Isn't that crazy? Her aorta was normal size, but her heart and her spleen were the size of a giant.
What she did on Thanksgiving was...
You could be a saint.
She is a saint.
They would give her sainthood.
I've sainted her. She's a saint.
Yeah, Joan of Arc.
It's just one of the most wonderful
my mom
things.
Of Arc.
But, you know, and I get it. You were young and too young to understand the significance
right.
of that, but now you
now
are.
Now as an adult, I should
and
get it.
And now you should say to yourself, I'm going to prepare
I'm going to invite a bunch of people
over
who
to
nobody
have Chinese
wants.
Food.
Right.
Why don't you invite all those people who you claim come up to you during dinner and say, thank goodness you bought the chicken, you know, and bring more next time. Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you invite all them to your house?
Oh, General Chow's
Because obviously
chicken.
They're misfits just like you.
Yes. I
all
know.
Right. I didn't mean to be
that
mean.
No.
But it bothers me that you don't like Thanksgiving.
It bothers everybody.
I don't care. Why do I care? Do you want to come over for Thanksgiving?
No, I can't.
I'm having turkey. Mashed potatoes.
That's the beauty of going to a restaurant on Thanksgiving is they probably have turkey because somebody's going to come in and go, it's Thanksgiving, I must have turkey. But when you don't order it, nobody questions you. When you go, I'll have the pasta primavera, they go, coming right up. And then they bring it.
And don't get me wrong. I, in the past few years, have brought up the idea of, why don't we go out to eat? Because it's small. Now my immediate family, we're small.
Yeah.
And everyone just looks at me like, what?
Right.
Like, no, we want you to cook the turkey or turkeys, as is the case this year, and all the fixings and I get it, and I'm okay with it, but a part of me is kind of like,
you want to be rebellious.
Well, and just no work, going out to
Wouldn't
eat,
that
going
be nice?
Home. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Jude, the last couple of years, we have gone to Villari. Just a couple of blocks away from where we are right now. And it is fantastic.
Oh,
everything
God.
About
is
it. There's no jam to the rafters.
What?
Every table.
Come on, seriously.
I'm not kidding. When we first did this, we did this 3 years ago for the first time. I went, we're going to be the only people in there. Who in their right mind would go there on Thanksgiving?
A lot of two-tops?
Wall-to-wall people, no.
Or families?
Families there.
Every
race, creed, color, religion, with one thing in common, I think. Nobody really likes Thanksgiving, so they're doing their best to escape
and
it.
And I would never, I'm sorry, order a turkey dinner at a restaurant.
No?
I just wouldn't. It does not appeal to me at all.
You
I have
to be in on the process.
It has to be homemade. It
right.
has to, not that it wouldn't be fabulous, but I have to cook it.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Here's another list, and it's all in my book, 3,000 Reasons I Hate Thanksgiving. Signet paperback. Get it for your loved ones.
With the forward with, I loved my mom, but sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
And I show actual x-rays of my mom's heart. Jude, you got to see. It's so big. It's gigantic.
And I hope you start with that in your book. So
I want people to know.
Yeah, they'll be crying at the end.
Right. So when we would have it at our house, as the day would go on.
When you were younger, you mean?
Yeah, when I was younger. All the women, without exception, every one of the women was in the kitchen working on food. And every one of the guys, without exception, was in the living room watching football. And as a kid, I would see this and I'd go, this is not the way it's supposed to be. All the women in one room, all the men in another room. This isn't
really,
the 1800s.
You noticed that? That's hilarious.
It drove me crazy.
That was my childhood as well.
Isn't that awful?
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny. It became awful after a while, but I was one of the ones who didn't go in the kitchen. So, because I,
good
well,
for you.
Because I was a teenager or, visiting from college.
Right.
So that, and it would just seem normal to me. But yeah, I mean, I think there were times where my grandmother ate in the kitchen.
Oh.
How I know
why?
I look back. It's just, and she wanted it. That's the way she wanted it. Yeah, and I know the etiquette earlier from
Akilah Easter.
Akilah, yeah, she was like, you know, one of her. We didn't talk about it, but on her sheet here it said, "Do wait, be patient. Do not start to eat until your hostess sits down."
Right.
My grandmother would have none of that. She would demand that we start eating, and then we would notice she wasn't there. She was just eating in the, you know.
That makes me sad.
I know, but that's who she was, and that's what she wanted.
Nobody missed her at the table saying, let's.
That's the sick part, yeah. After a while, but we just kind of got used to it because she just would have, she would not have none of it. We could not convince her. Just like she wanted to be called Grandma, and we called her Busha.
And that means grandmother in Polish,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, and I hate myself for that now. When I, in retrospect, I'm like, why couldn't I just call her Grandma? She wanted to be called Grandma because she was Busha.
Oh.
She wasn't Grandma, she was Busha. But she wanted to be called Grandma. She wanted to be American. Anyhow,
you couldn't give her that.
Right. So the same way. But let me tell you, too.
My mom, who had a huge heart, she called her Grandma. she would call.
You know what? Those women are both in heaven, obviously.
Yes, they are.
And she is calling her Grandma
right
now.
Good luck getting in.
Sorry, Grandma.
We're full.
It's funny you mentioned that because even today, to this day, I have some relatives who... The men, the older men relatives who still sit there and expect to be waited on.
Because they're men.
Get my
men
coffee.
Are the worst.
Where's the coffee? Where's the dessert? They're
get up, not... you slug, and get it yourself, I'd say.
Well, that's what I say in my mind, and then I get it, and then I go
What's
get it
with
for
that?
Yeah.
Do they know what year this is?
No. No. It's,
that's
they,
horrible.
They won't. And, you know, obviously they know, but they like that tradition.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So.
For a while, we went to a relative's house. Tell me, I know that this will again seem cruel, but I speak the truth. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We would visit a relative's house for Thanksgiving. We did this twice. And at this relative's house, they had a giant TV. So during the prime time, during the football, because now there's 3 football games on Thanksgiving. There used to be, first there was 1, then they made it 2. Now there's 3.
Oh,
so football's
okay.
on all day. Yeah. All right. So everybody would want to gather in the living room to watch the football game on the big TV, but one of the relatives is a recovering alcoholic, and during football games, they show a lot of commercials for beer, and this would make him think of alcohol, and then
unlike the party he's at where people are drinking?
It made him think of it more because it was on a giant screen TV.
Well, and let's face it, it's an advertisement. That's what it's supposed to do.
Right. So he, and good for him for stopping drinking, was so influenced by these commercials, he couldn't see them. So he wanted to watch like a Turner Classics movies during that instead of the football game. So they would give way to him, and he would sit by himself in the living room with the widescreen TV watching, you know, some movie from 1947 while we were all in one of my relatives' bedrooms watching a little TV with the football game. There'd be 30 of us in there watching the football game. He was all by himself.
Well, hopefully this was his house and he...
Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope.
No, that's not good etiquette.
So one time I suggested, I go, here's a crazy idea. But from a number standpoint, why don't we, the group of 30 of us, all go in the living room and he can... And everybody just stared at me like, no. He's a recovering alcoholic. You have to give him his due. You have to let him... If he's more comfortable in there, who are we to tell him otherwise?
Yeah, let's no, I'm not getting into
that. Doesn't that seem crazy?
It's crazy, and it's very, I mean, you want, it's great that he's a recovering alcoholic.
Yes, I applaud him for that.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you got to live in the real world.
Right.
You can't be babying him and you know, it's ridiculous.
Right. No, I know.
I know. There's alcohol in the real world.
But I couldn't find, and I take that back. I found 2 people that saw it my way, but they both did this. Do you know what trouble this would start if we even suggested this?
And did you go back a year after year? Or did
we did that slowly, one twice.
Yeah, because no, that's not acceptable.
I don't think so either.
No, come on, majority rules.
Mob
that's
rules.
Way,
yeah. Or majority rules,
Mob
I guess.
Rules, right. And you know, have you heard of bullying?
Right, right. But again, just to be clear, I'm so proud of him for wanting to not drink anymore. Yes. But does that happen? Would you be triggered? I mean, I'm sure you would see the beer commercials. You'd see the Budweiser Clydesdales and go, boy, would I love a beer right
my
now.
My fear that that's not a good thing. If that's happening, something's not right.
He's still on the fringe.
He's still on the fringe and he needs more help.
I know.
I mean, that's you've got to be past that.
Right.
Past the advertisements.
Right.
My gosh, people are going to be drinking in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you smell the actual liquor? Yeah, no.
I know.
That was,
I'm with you all the way.
But, you know, families, we try the best.
We try
best
all we can.
Yep.
Yeah. So true. All right. We'll take a break. Kim will join us. She'll give you the news. And then there's more of us, Bill and Judy, in for Wendy on WGN.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you.
Judy, I see you rolling your eyes.
Why are you ruining it?
Adam Sandler.
I love the Adam Sandler thing.
One of our greatest balladeers of all time.
There's another one, too, I just thought of. There's a Jewish singer named Debbie Friedman, and she has a Thanksgiving song.
Does she?
Yes. You can
I've never heard it. I'll find it.
Okay, find it.
I'd be anxious here. Actually, Jazz, look for that. Debbie Friedman with her Thanksgiving song.
Yeah.
See if we can find it.
Is there a song called Where, Oh, Where Is Bill? On Thanksgiving?
No.
That's in a Chinese restaurant.
That's where I am.
That's where I am on Christmas.
More times than not. All right. We'll get back to our Thanksgiving talk in just a second, but I have to ask you about a story you just did in the news about the elevator that got stuck.
I know. Scary.
This was at...
at the John Hancock.
At the Hancock.
The problem
How
was...
How high up was the elevator?
Well, I'm not exactly sure where they were.
This was an express elevator?
It was an express elevator, and the people said we're somewhere between the lobby and the 95th floor.
Because the express doesn't have floors in between.
Exactly. So I think they got them out somewhere around the 11th.
Ugh.
But I'm not exactly sure where the cable broke and where they ended up.
Yeah, that's the scariest part of this story.
The cable broke?
The cable broke.
And one of the people was pregnant inside the elevator. The families were freaking out. I mean, thank God everybody's okay. But.
And how many times have you been in an elevator where... It
jiggles a little.
Well, have you been stuck in an elevator?
No.
I have.
I don't ever want to be stuck in an elevator.
For how long were you in?
My family, we were stuck for, it seemed like eternity, but it was probably 20 minutes in a very small hotel elevator in New York. And there were two people in there that really started to panic.
You get claustrophobic.
And we were afraid somebody was going down.
Oh,
like
no.
They were going to pass out. It was scary. It was really
Were you
scary.
In contact with anyone during that
yeah,
time?
Yeah, you could talk to people, and they said, we're working on it. We're going to get you down.
Okay.
It was probably 20 to 30 minutes, but it seemed like
What was the problem?
Ages. Just got stuck.
Just
I don't know.
Stuck.
They finally got
it. Wasn't like a broken cable?
It was an old hotel, you know.
Yeah. Would you say, because I've only seen this happen in movies and TV shows, so I would assume if I was in an elevator that was stuck between floors... that at some point we were just going to fall to the ground. Was that thought in your head the whole time you were in the elevator?
No, because we weren't moving.
I mean, we were stuck. That would make it scarier to me. If it was moving, I'd go, at least I'm headed toward a floor. If you're just stuck, I'd say, at some point, something's going to give way, and we're going to just plummet to the bottom.
Yeah, I was little at the time, so that probably didn't
occur to
me. Maybe now that I'm an adult and I was stuck in an elevator, that probably would occur to me.
Yeah.
Because I've been on, what's that... ride at Disney World.
Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's a good time.
I didn't get on that. I wish I had.
It's such a good ride.
That's just a drop, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they kind of take you up and down.
Up and down, up and down.
Oh, and then you drop.
They tease you a little bit.
Mm,
yeah. You drop several times.
Yeah.
And it's all it's random. There's a randomizer on it. Like it used to be, the old days, people would go, okay, I get it. I go up 8 floors, I go down 3. I go up 6, I go down 4. No, it changes every ride.
Yeah, so you
So you don't know.
Interesting.
It's really
good. Being in this building, you know, we worked pretty much my whole career. I was on the first floor.
Yeah.
I never took an elevator.
Yeah.
That was just a little treat when I would have to go somewhere in the Tribune Tower. But now, coming up 18, I don't like it.
Yeah.
These are fast elevators, too.
Yes.
They are.
Very fast.
And I noticed at first when we were first in here, the elevator's doors would open. And did you notice they kind of bounced a little bit and then opened? I was like, I don't like the feel of this.
Yeah, right. I feel like... And then
maybe it's because they're so quick. You're getting up here so quick. I don't know.
And then it's got to stop.
Yeah.
Stop itself.
Yeah.
Now, let's just think about, because we should be prepared. What do you do if the elevator is descending at an uncontrollable rate?
I have a theory that I've told
Brace
people.
Brace yourself.
Do you jump?
That's one.
Do you say to yourself right when it hits, you jump to the ceiling?
Well, I've had this discussion with so many people.
Is this in your Thanksgiving book?
It's not in my Thanksgiving book. It's in my book about how to survive from elevator crashes. Is that here's my theory, and I think it's really strong. But
is
people
there a
have
sequel
told me
of how to survive a tornado yes. and an airplane crash got, and an
yes.
earthquake.
Okay. It's a series of books. All right, so this makes sense to me, but I've told this to people, and they just stare at me and they go, "You're an idiot. What are you thinking?" All right, I'm stuck in an elevator and it's stuck, and then all of a sudden it's plummeting toward the ground. Here's what I would do. I would start jumping up and down in the elevator.
To get it to move?
Not to get it to move, because then at some point when it does crash on the ground, I've got a 50-50 chance being midair as opposed to being on the ground.
Now,
to
me, I would get in like the position that you're supposed to get in, like when there's a tornado.
Fetal
coming.
Position. Yeah.
Lock your head and just get on the ground. Why would you want to be up in the air?
Because if you're up in the air, the air would absorb the crash.
The crash. So you have to. But here's the thing. You've got the initial crash, which will kill you.
Yeah.
And then you have everything on top coming down too, right?
Falling down.
It would just seem to make sense that everything would just cave in.
As I was jumping, I would cover my head with my arms. That's my elevator jumping.
I'm so excited to be moving to a high rise.
Sure. You'll have to think about this every day.
Oh, my God.
But I even do this now, Jude. If I'm on the elevator here, I jump up and down with my arms over my head.
You just do it as a matter of course.
Just to
if
practice.
No one's in there.
No, because people are in there.
Please don't do it when people are in there.
I do it. Just
right,
say,
you know what? I think we just need to walk around with parachutes on.
That's a better idea.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be good.
Would an airplane, let's say you're afraid of flying.
Would an air carrier
allow you to have
a parachute
on you during a flight?
If you can put it under the seat in front of you, suppose you could.
I'd want to wear it.
How are you going to get out of a plane going down? It's too you can't jump out, right? It's too fast. That's always the problem,
right?
That's why you brace for impact and don't jump out. They don't, you know, or else why wouldn't they have them there accessible?
Well,
exactly.
Because I think you can't stop the.
If you open the door, that could make things worse because it's pressurized.
Right.
Right. And all that.
Exactly.
That
and then,
in
you know,
airports.
What'll happen? Immediately, the flight attendant will go out because that's what happens in every movie.
Right.
She gets sucked out.
Yeah. The well-meaning flight attendant.
Can we get back to happy times and Thanksgiving?
Yeah, do you want to?
Because now your book's going to be like how to survive Thanksgiving, a plane crash, and an elevator.
And an elevator. It's a long
book. Which one do you read first?
Good question. All right, so Kim, you have added a new fold to this.
Okay.
Judy loves Thanksgiving.
I do too.
I'm not so much a fan, but you've divided up your food into two separate meals, sort of, right?
Yeah, mine's milk and meat, basically.
The morning, you do like a breakfast Thanksgiving?
No, it's not breakfast.
No?
It's just anything that has dairy in it because...
The kosher laws.
So for our appetizers, we have cheese and we have like 11:30-ish appetizers. So we start with Bloody Marys and mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
And our,
gosh, I love it already.
Just like the original Pilgrims.
Infamous taco dip.
Oh, really? You go very...
This
all
year we're adding
globe.
Mac and cheese.
Oh.
And then we have, you know, I'm making like little brie bites and artichokes.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I'm sorry.
Sushi tray.
Not being Jewish.
Yeah.
What, you can't eat dairy after a certain time?
No, you can't mix milk and meat together.
Oh, you can't mix it. That's right. Okay.
So we love, you know, taco dip and all that kind of stuff. So then we eat it first. And then later on in the evening, then we have traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
But you still do it earlier. Like for some reason, everybody has it in their head. If they usually eat dinner at 7 or 7:30 on Thanksgiving, they have it at 4 or 4:30.
Yeah, I'm one of those
people.
We usually eat around 6:30. I am one of those that do not like to eat a big dinner in the middle of the day.
No,
I just hate that.
That's stupid.
And then it's boring. What are you going to do the rest of the day?
I'll tell you what you do the rest of the day. You be Polish and you eat twice.
Well, we are eating twice.
No,
we're
but
Jewish.
Say, no, we
eat all day.
We eat it like one or two, and then we just kind of leave everything out and cover it up if we can, which is pretty much almost everything.
Well, those appetizers.
And then we go watch football and stuff, and then a couple hours later we re-eat.
A lot of eating.
Well, we have a family poker game in between.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Now
too.
I like it.
Yeah, we have a family poker game.
We play dice for money.
Yeah. Well, we play poker for money. So my dad is the ringleader on the poker game.
Nice.
Yeah. Elliot
you know
Ness
what?
Is
We're
bust
older
up your
now.
Holiday.
Maybe we can go to poker from the dice because that was kind of for the little kids who could then count the, you know.
Poker's good because it lasts a long time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of money, and some of those younger kids need the money.
Right.
For like college and drinking. Right. And they go out after Thanksgiving.
Or you could just play drinking games.
So may I ask this? We've established you both enjoy Thanksgiving a great deal. what is the one thing, even on a day that you both love and admire so much, what is the one thing you go, enough of that, I wish that part wasn't in Thanksgiving? What would that be?
The dishes.
Yeah, all the cleanup, right?
If I had a sous chef, that would be amazing.
And you know what? I because of that, I go back and forth on, I use my good china, and then sometimes I don't, just because...
You have enough for everybody?
Well, the china you have to hand wash.
Yeah.
So if I don't, if I have enough plates and they look good, especially for Thanksgiving, because it's more
fall-ish.
I'm
not doing it this year.
The china?
I'm not, because I want to be able to put everything in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
and
I'm
your good
you.
Silver and your crystal, none of that can go in the dishwasher.
And my family's even, they're so gracious. They're like, just get chinette. Just, we don't care, but I do. I can't...
Now,
that food needs to have a plate.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, do you guys... get dressed up for Thanksgiving?
Well, another thing, you know, my dad still will dress up. Yeah, I will try to dress up while still wearing elastic pants and maybe my socks.
We have a fast, tight rule.
What is it?
Sweatpants.
Everybody wears sweatpants.
Everybody wears sweatpants.
You do everything right. You're doing everything right.
Everybody wears sweatpants.
Okay, I'm going to send a text out and say, please dress down, because we're going to really pig out this year.
Sweatsuit attire.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a great day. I mean, you're cuddled up. You're watching football. You're hanging out.
But were you always like that, or was there a time where
when
you did dress?
When I was growing up, people got dressed up.
But
I've started hosting it, and I've hosted for, I don't know, over 20-something years. We made it sweatpants.
See, but I was saying that earlier, but I sort of want my kids, when they start to have families, to do the dress up, because they should, maybe, but maybe not.
But with sweatpants, you can't mix sweatpants with
family.
A dress shirt. You have to wear...
No, I mean, we wear a couple years ago, you know, when the Packers play, everybody will wear their Packers gear.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Wait, are the Bears on this?
Yeah,
yes,
they're
they
Bears,
are.
So a lot of people will be wearing
Bears. Maybe
I'll
say, wear your Bears gear.
Yeah, there you go.
And that will be a good indication of where we are.
Right.
Okay. Perfect.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Bear down and eat.
Now, is it sounding a little bit more, is it sounding better to you now, Bill?
It's sounding slightly better.
Right?
No, you know this, Kim. I dress like a pilgrim every year for Thanksgiving. I feel that you really need to. And I'm not a guy who looks good in buckles, but for that day, I give into it. I remember as a kid, a lot of the relatives that would come over would wear full, suit attire.
Oh,
like,
yeah. We used to get really
ties
good.
Ties and
always,
jackets
yes.
and stuff like that.
And my kids, we would make them wear little suits.
Did
we were
you?
So
yeah.
stupid.
Yeah. yeah. Where do you go now anywhere that you have to wear a suit to go eat?
That's
you can
what
go
I mean.
To the finest, most amazing restaurant in Chicago in a pair of jeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those jobs that required a suit, maybe a jacket. You know, but that's no one wears a tie. I mean, times have changed.
Yeah.
Even my son, who just, you know, is just starting out his legal career, when he's in the office, it's casual. If he has to go to court, he does have to wear a suit and tie.
Oh, yeah, that makes
sense.
But
in the office, it's
more casual.
It's very
polo
telling.
Shirts.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Just a nice dress shirt or a sweater.
That's all right then.
Jeans. And congratulations to the lawyer and your family.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Nice.
That must feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
All three children.
Now you know when you commit a crime, you got somebody to represent you. That's important. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, you've made me realize it truly is the greatest day of the year.
It is, Bill.
Changed my
you
mind.
You should have known that from your
it's
mom.
More, you know, there's more to it than the food. Because I have to be honest, I love my appetizers way more than
the course.
Traditional Thanksgiving food.
Yeah,
I'm not
a
turkey person.
I love the traditional food.
Yeah.
And for that, I am willing to do the hard work.
Yeah.
And it is hard work, but...
Yeah.
I might take Mrs. Bill left's...
my mom's?
Yeah. I just.
But when you go to a restaurant on Thanksgiving and you just see all the stuff just whisked away into the kitchen and cleaned up, you don't even have to think about it. It's just gone. You go, wow, why do I, every year, all that effort.
And believe me, it's not even like some meals, many meals that are just, the cleanup's okay.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, the cleanup is horrendous.
It is horrendous.
It's just, it's the food that you're, the amount of food, the food you're making, the mashed potatoes, the sweet, it's sticky and gooey, and it's just everything you have to use to bake it in the oven and keep it warm.
Everything's a mess.
Yeah, and... As we talked about in my family, I pretty much do all of it myself.
Jasmine,
my husband and I kind of split it. He loves to cook, so he does
help
me a lot.
Yeah.
Yes,
my help
cooking.
My helper's in L.A.
Jude, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Jasmine, were you able to find Kim's song? Now, who sings this again? Kim?
Debbie Friedman.
Debbie Friedman. This is her Thanksgiving song. Listen up.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Aren't
Is he Haw?
No, it's a Jewish folk singer.
This very special holiday first started in the East. Plymouth Rock, the Mayflower, that's how it all began. Feel free to join me in the chorus if you can. Happy Thanksgiving. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
I'm just glad you're not a turkey.
So now we know there are three Thanksgiving songs. I think that's, for me, all right, when I try to analyze why I love Christmas so much, and I do, I just love it, and I don't like Thanksgiving
toys,
at all. I try
toys.
To figure it out. Part of it's toys, Jude.
It's
I'm not going to lie to you. But the other part is the extra things that go along, like there are so many great Christmas songs, and there's only three Thanksgiving songs, and none of them are great. They're just there.
They're
Christmas
bad.
Specials. You could watch Christmas specials all day, every day between now and Christmas and still not see them all. Are there any good Thanksgiving specials?
What are
they?
Oh, my gosh. Have you not watched Lifetime?
And the Hallmark Channel?
Yeah, the Hallmark Channel. I mean, believe me, if you need your film.
So it's a bunch of made-for-TV ones?
Wasn't there a Charlie Brown, though, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, there was, but it's not good. It's nowhere near as good as their Christmas special.
You know,
isn't there a movie about the pilgrims coming over? And
would you go see a movie about pilgrims coming over?
Not politically correct now anymore.
Yeah.
I guess not. But like all that extra stuff, the songs, the decorations, like when a house gets decorated for Christmas or for Hanukkah, it's a big deal. There's lights. There's just motion. It's just pretty to look at.
Well, as you said, it's the opening act, so it's not.
I guess so.
You know, it's more sedate.
Well, I feel now Thanksgiving just between Halloween and Christmas. Thanksgiving gets the brush off. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like it's just all about the food. It's all about eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I follow a lot of, because I love to cook, so I follow a lot of food blogs on, you know, Instagram, and from, I don't know, mid-October till now, I'm just inundated with recipes and people sending you, this is the top 37 dressings, and the top, here's how to brine your turkey.
Kim, would you save that dressings article for me, please? I need to read that.
You could have it with your kale candy.
I want to do a dramatic reading of that for my family on Thanksgiving. I think that would really be a crowd pleaser. That would be so good.
Soak the cornbread.
So the magazines go out of their way to make the day a special day.
Absolutely. Because it's all about decor on your table, how to set a table. You know, Judy can set a beautiful table.
Yeah.
I actually did keep one of the, maybe it's Bon Appetit, one of them that had a whole thing on Thanksgiving. I'm like, you know what? I'm just, because every year I do like to, or every other year I'd try to make one new thing. And
new thing?
Well, like Brussels sprouts was my new thing and I kept making it. I'm like, all right, now it's an old thing, the Brussels sprouts with the brown sugar and the bacon. Oh, man.
Is that good?
So I don't really have one this year. And I've told myself this year I'm going to go totally traditional and not overboard. When I don't go overboard, it's so much easier.
Yeah. Last year I made this roasted butternut squash with like tahini sauce.
Okay,
it was amazing. And nobody appreciated it.
Those are two interesting flavors that I wouldn't put together. Yeah. Butternut squash and tahini sauce together?
It was delicious.
That's a strange clash.
Really good. And then you put, I think it was pine nuts on the top.
Oh,
Have you ever heard of the Chef Ottolenghi? It's one of his recipes.
No. Who's Chef Ottolenghi?
For anybody who wants to make it.
Kim actually looks at the recipes and makes them.
Oh, they do? Really?
That's something, because I look at them and I go, I'm going to make that one day. And I never do.
Now, in a related subject, do cookbooks still sell at all? Like a generation ago, not only my mom, but anytime we'd visit somebody's house, in their kitchen there was a shelf of cookbooks that they would use religiously. But now with the internet,
I would never.
You know what?
Would anyone put out a cookbook anymore?
There are tons of people putting out cookbooks.
Really? Still. Yeah.
Yes, there are lots of cookbooks, and I'm so bad now because I read about them and then I'll search for their recipes online and then I'll pin them to my Pinterest board and that's how I keep them.
Yeah. Why would you get a cookbook in this
age? You don't want the clutter. You can find them all online on so many recipes.
I think I have a bin of cookbooks somewhere in my basement.
But not accessible.
I still use mine.
I don't use mine.
And I still do have one recipe box with like the old school where my grandmother or sister-in-laws and parents and mom's written out, you know, the recipes
The notations.
In that box. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do. Especially on Thanksgiving, I pull that out.
I mean,
Thanksgiving and Jewish holidays.
Yesterday, I made salmon, which I don't normally make, and I just went right online, typed in salmon recipes,
and there's a million of them,
and found one and made it.
Right,
made it. It was delicious.
Yeah.
In the old days, 5 years ago, I would go get my cookbook out, look it up, and it might have it, it might not.
So I mean, Pinterest is the best thing for recipes.
Pinterest is wonderful.
It's
that's where to go.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
for everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Was the top cookbook? Maybe this was just in our family, but was Betty Crocker the one that was the most trusted? Was that
you
the
know
one
what
that
Betty
everybody...
Crocker had the basics,
right?
It all
nothing
the basics,
too, nothing too
and
dangerous,
and other things. But I mean, you know, I had a lot of cookbooks, Bon Appetit, that sort of thing.
Good Housekeeping, did they put them out too?
Good Housekeeping was good. But yeah, so you had your basics for your everyday cooking kind of, and then the one that you needed when you were having, maybe you wanted that dish at Thanksgiving or having a dinner party and you were making, you know, rib roll, something that wasn't common.
And I don't know, because I love to cook and I used to get Bon Appetit and I would save every magazine and I would have these Lucite holders with all my Bon Appetit magazines. And then at the end of the year, you could buy these indexes where you could go to the index and then it would, you could like say you wanted to make, I don't know, some kind of salad and you could look in the salad index and it would tell you like what month they had the salad that you wanted, what page.
That's
you
know, helpful.
Now you don't need that.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
it's
but
a computer
at the
now.
Time, Bon Appetit, kind of revolutionary. I mean, we all, maybe it was our age group, but it was, I saved the same thing, saved every magazine, cut out those recipes.
Yeah,
it was
I put
crazy.
Them in a binder.
Yeah. And now, wow.
Not anymore.
Click.
Yeah. Right. We had a bunch of index cards. My mom had an index card file and then a drawer filled with index cards with relatives that would give a recipe. Now, I don't know if this was just a family tradition in my family or if this is commonplace, but it was always kind of a thing. If you gave somebody a recipe for anything, big or small, you would always leave out a key ingredient so that when the other person made it, it wasn't quite as good.
Well, I've had recipe sabotage in my family.
So that's a thing.
Yes.
What?
Yes. And it's not a nice thing. Yeah. Yes. And I won't reveal who it was, but I have been sabotaged by one person.
Intentionally.
I have never heard that.
Jude, this was, without a doubt, so much so that in my family, they would try to get, like, they know, as soon as you get a recipe, they would look at it and they go, oh, these are chocolate brownies, but there's no chocolate in the recipe, so I think they've left out chocolate.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And then somebody else would come, in my family, they would say, well, she left this out on purpose.
Yeah.
This is what you have to do.
Yeah. But you do that to protect your empire.
To me, when somebody asks for my recipe, like because they love something I made so much, it's a huge honor. I'm
sure,
happy to
compliment.
Give the recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judy, you looked shocked by this. You didn't know this went on?
I am.
This has been going on forever.
Recipe sabotage.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Now, one of my sister-in-laws, my sister-in-law Nancy, she didn't do this on purpose, but she'll leave out a key ingredient when she makes something and then apologize. She'll go, it's apple pie, but you need to know this.
There's pears.
We didn't have any apples. We used string beans. It's not going to be quite as good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, I feel bad because I have this one recipe everyone always asks me for, and I can't tell them how much to put in. It's a dip.
It's in your head, right?
But now that I've heard this, I'm thinking, do they think that I'm doing that on purpose?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know how much. You know, just you got to look at it and make it pinkish. And really,
well,
truly,
some stuff you do up the, you know, because Wendy once asked me for my matzo ball soup recipe, and I wrote it down for her, but I like had to sit and really think about it because I don't have exact amounts. I
just
know how
to
make it, and I know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, she was just going to turn it into an empire. She wanted to buy it. She was just going to.
And you know, we had a WGN cookbook here.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Were you featured in that?
I was.
We should bring that back.
I believe with that dip that I was just talking about.
Oh,
we should bring that back. Okay, so this is a great dip. It's, and when I make them taste it first, and they absolutely can't stop eating it.
And then you tell them there's something horrible.
Nobody
in it.
Has ever. Ever said this is terrible.
Is there anchovies in it?
Well, and then I tell them what's in it, and they're like, what? Because it's the color is kind of pinkishy. So it's,
can I guess what's in it?
Yes.
Pepto-Bismol?
No, it's not that pink.
Salsa?
It's cream cheese.
Oh.
Ketchup.
Ketchup?
Worcestershire.
Oh.
Diced onions.
Oh.
And that's it.
Ketchup?
Yeah, and you
put ketchup in there? And people
it sounds a little like Thousand Island dressing, but...
With ketchup, everything about it is absolutely delicious.
Really,
and you eat it with chips or veggies.
No,
we eat it with chips.
No,
but it's my most asked for thing.
Really?
People always ask me to make it, and I don't know. I squirt the ketchup in until it gets the right color and consistency. That's how I make it.
Three bottles, four bottles.
This I fine tuned it from someone else who you know they used to put relish in it. Which bleh.
Well, see that to me is Thousand Island like ketchup and relish,
kind of, but you eat it with chips and it's absolutely. Haven't you ever had it in my house, Kim?
I don't think I have.
Because I make it all the time.
Next year
I'll bring it in.
Bring it in, please.
I make batches of it. Yeah,
we must stop. We have look. We have to. All right.
Time flies.
Kim, thank you for hanging out. Judy and I will close things off in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and it's Judy in for Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Bill. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy.
That Bill is great.
Isn't he great? It's fun to listen to. Jude, thanks so much for filling
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
This was so much fun.
Always a great time.
I learned a little bit about you, a lot about myself.
Yeah, I learned a lot about you, too.
Things about myself I didn't even dream about. Now I know. All right. On Monday, you'll be back to doing news for us. Dane Neal will be sitting in as co-host as Wendy takes another day off.
And I'm sure he can talk turkey.
I would be shocked if he couldn't. Yeah. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, we're going to get you. We're going to get you to the Thanksgiving table one way or another.
It's turkey conversion.
In my book, therapy. In handcuffs is, to me, the best
that's fine.
Way, but
whatever.
We'll see.
That's fine. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. Tune in again on Monday. Bye, Jude.
Bye.